Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. What is a recession? We asked that question with the latest news that shows we are indeed in a recession. And I ask for your thoughts on the Whoopi Goldberg saga, as now she now apologizes. It just never ends. Support our wonderful freedom warriors with Turning Point USA by buying a copy of the College Scam, collegescam.com. That's collegescam.com. Or support us at Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are going to continue into the fake Nazi scandal that happened outside of Turning Point USA's conference. Keep diving into it because we're going to do the research the media does not do. We're going to talk about how the media is trying their best to make monkeypox seem like an emergency you should care about. But first, we have to get some breaking news today. We are officially in a recession. Now, I'm not here to fearmonger. I'm not here to make you worried. I'm not here to try to make you overly concerned. But what I am going to tell you is that we are in the worst possible combination of economic circumstances. We have a recession, which means negative GDP growth for two consecutive quarters, which is, by the way, has always been the definition of a recession until now. Joe Biden comes along. They say, well, it's questionable whether or not we're in a recession. We're in a recession. And then we have rising prices. So we called this stagflation during Jimmy Carter. It could be best summarized, and this is a term we started, as crashflation. You have the stock market crashing, you have economic indication going down, and indicators going down, and you have prices going up. Now, the reason this is so concerning is under typical economic circumstances, you'd be able to release more money from the Federal Reserve, aka lowering interest rates, making it easier to borrow, so that people would then spend more money and get you out of the recession. The problem is that we already did that with loose monetary measures, Republicans that are addicted to deficit spending, $7 trillion of unnecessary spending. Let me say that again. $7 trillion of unnecessary spending spent by Republicans and Democrats over the last 2 years. And the economy has officially overheated. The sugar high has come home. We are now in a free fall economic collapse. And not only is the American purchasing power going down, but the growth itself is going to start to decrease. Now, I hope I am wrong. And let me be very clear. I am not wishing this. Unlike the left, who they cheer for recessions when Republicans are in office, I want the economy to do well. I don't care if Joe Biden's in office. I don't care if Obama's in office. I do not want the suffering of my fellow countrymen. And you believe the same. The left, they don't care about that. All they care about is power. But I will say that just bluntly and plainly, there is going to be suffering. Small businesses are going to go under. Overly inflated valuations are going to crumble. We are now heading towards a sequence of economic decisions of which many of you young people, many students out there that are watching, have never lived through. Now, this will be completely different, in my personal opinion, than the 2008 financial crisis. The 2008 financial crisis was sudden. It was a shock to the system. I believe this will be a slow motion car crash, a series of bad news day after day, month after month, when after 6 or 9 months you say, how the heck did we end up here? Former economic advisor Larry Summers says there's a greater risk of stagflation, which we call crashflation, for some number of years than the market is currently discounting. Someone asked me the other day, Charlie, how long is this going to take? I said it could take 2 to 3 years. You don't spend $7 trillion that you do not have on top of the $4.4 trillion we're already spending from the federal government, lock down an entire society, inject it back into the country, and act as if everything's going to be fine. You want to know why Bill Gates is buying farmland? Because he knows that when things fall apart, it's the only thing you're going to have left. Play cut 18.
I think there's also a greater risk of stagflation. and this episode being with us for some number of years than the market is currently discounting.
And what is Joe Biden's response? Cut 31 says, we're not going to be a recession in my view. Again, they're all just trading terms. We are in a recession technically. We are in a recession literally. But here's what we really are in. We are in a economic hurricane, all created by the very same politicians that promised you the vaccine would protect you against infection. All created by the very same experts that told you that masks would prevent transmission. All the very same experts that promised you that ivermectin is horse paste. Do you see a pattern here? You know, I had it out with a journalist recently, and they said, Charlie, all you're trying to do is deteriorate trust in our institutions. I said, no, they've done that job for themselves. If you still trust the American institutions, whether it be Wall Street, finance, the Federal Reserve, the CDC, the FDA, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Facebook, or Google, you're not looking close enough. Look, we just report the facts here. I want to trust my institutions, and you should too. Institutions that have earned trust keep society stable. You need to have some institutions that you could believe in, that you can fund, that you can congregate around. A society without institutions is a society that is fractured, closer to discord. Some would call it anarchy or complete and total bedlam. Our institutions have stabbed us in the back because they've been co-opted and hijacked by corrupt ideological people. I've said on this program before, I would much rather have a corrupt politician than an ideological politician. Guess what? We have both of them. They're both unbelievably corrupt, and they're also ideological. The worst combination. Play cut 31.
We could be in a recession.
We're not going to be in a recession, in my view. The employment rate is still one of the lowest we've had in history. It's in the 3.6 area. We still find ourselves with people investing. My hope is we go from this rapid growth to steady growth. And we'll see some coming down. But I don't think we're going to, God willing, I don't think we're going to see a recession.
God willing, we're living through a recession, Joe Biden. Now, this goes to show the divide between classes. There is a divide between the muscular class and the Zoom and Skype class. Here's how you know what class you're in. By the way, I'm not condemning you if you're part of the Zoom and Skype class. I'm also not necessarily praising you if you're part of the muscular class. There's plenty of jerks that are welders and plenty of good people that are HR managers. But the moving average is there's a lot more integrity and let's just say virtue in the American welding community than in the American HR community. Just general observation. But there's exceptions to both. We also talk about the ruling class versus the subjects, which are a lot of you. But another divide, and believe it or not, I have to give the credit to this person, is Peggy Noonan, who I think has really lost her way in recent years, but she is objectively smart. She's smart, but she's also very smug, and she's very liberal. She has articulated in several Wall Street Journal op-eds where she said the real divide in America is the protected class versus the unprotected class. And I think that framing is actually very smart. In a sense, what she's arguing is that if you are not protected from tragedy or calamity, you are part of the unprotected class. The protected class is somebody who doesn't have to worry about medical bills if their kid gets sick. The protected class is somebody that doesn't have to worry about the financial implications of going out to dinner or to go on a vacation. Or if a flood or a tsunami hits or if COVID happens, you'll be able to work through it. The protected class is what runs the country. You want to know why there's a populist revolt happening in America, which I really support, by the way, enthusiastically support, is because the unprotected class is being called dumb, stupid, lazy, and deplorable by the protected class that is insulated from the very costs that they actually imposed on the American people. The protected class is by definition arrogant and remarkably self-righteous, which often leads to policies and ideas that are run by total and complete demagogues. And so Joe Biden refuses to admit it's a recession because for him, everything's just fine. Joe Biden will continue to be able to go to Delaware and ride his bike and fall over. Joe Biden will be able to still get ice cream and never have to worry about it. Joe Biden is a protected class member. Guess what? So is Janet Yellen. Every single person that is molding and sculpting public policy is going to be just fine. They don't care about you. Look, inflation is out of control, and you need physical things you can touch in your investment portfolio. Now gas is $7 a gallon. A 10-year-old Honda Civic will set you back $20,000, and rent is $2,000 a month. Welcome to 8.6% inflation, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. So what can you do? You could try trading stocks or buy mutual funds, but returns are sinking fast. You'd have to make at least 10% with charges just to break even. And if you're looking at retiring comfortably, well, they're not even options. You might have heard about gold IRAs, but you don't know much about them. That's why Noble Gold has a team of experts at the other end of the phone. They'll put you straight on what you can and can't do to get yourself financially safe again. And if you're quick, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 of an ounce American Eagle gold-proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more. NobleGoldInvestments.com. I'm a big fan, big supporter. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. So we are now officially in a recession, negative GDP growth. And I think all of this ties together. Now, I would love your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com on this. I learned so much from you guys, by the way. I read every single email that comes through. I do not respond to them all. Somebody came up to me at our Student Action Summit. They said, Charlie, why don't you respond to my emails? I said, I promise I read them all. That doesn't mean I can respond to them all. We get, I think, well over 5,000 emails a day, right, Connor? Anywhere between 5,000 to 10,000 emails a day. It's extraordinary. But I want your thoughts. Does this feel as if it's intentional? I believe it is. I believe that the masters of the universe, if you will, put that in air quotes, they are cheering for an economic reset. Very similar to the Great Reset. White House Jean-Pierre, cut 45, declines to define what a recession is. So let me just be very clear. They can't tell you what a woman is. They can't tell you what a recession is. What can they tell you exactly? Play cut 45.
And what is exactly the White House's definition of a recession?
Again, I'm not going to define it from here. I'm just going to leave it to the NBER, as we have stated, and how they define recession.
They don't declare one until they have declared it one.
I'm just saying that we're just not going to define it. We use the indicators that the NBER, the National Bureau of Economic Research, have used. We've mentioned that a few times.
I find this to be so funny. All the bureaucracies lean on one another. So if you went to the NBBR, they'd say, oh, no, you have to go back to the White House for a definition. You know what that's like? That's like trying to get a passport. Every single government agency you go to tells you have to go to the other government agency. Social Security Administration says you have to go to the post office. They say you have to go somewhere else. Can I just go to one place to get all this done? No, you need this paper stamped by this person to go to this place. It's a never-ending circus of bureaucratic referrals. Play cut 46, montage of CNN and MSNBC saying that a recession is two consecutive quarters of falling GDP, and yet the White House refuses to acknowledge we're in a recession. Play tape.
Two consecutive quarters of negative growth.
The definition of a recession is a decline in output for two consecutive quarters, or about 6 months.
A recession is just two consecutive quarters of economic decline.
When we talk about the possibility of a recession, what is a recession? A recession is two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters.
Two consecutive quarters of declining GDP.
Because as you know, it's two consecutive quarters of down GDP.
That signals it is actually a definition of a recession.
Now that was all when Trump was president, and now they refuse to say this on TV. This is Biden's press release. Quote, coming off last year's historic economic growth. Let's pause. Last year did not have historic economic growth. It was fake growth brought to you by a Potemkin Village house of cards, a sugar high. You know what that's like saying? It's like saying, boy, I ran really far after chugging an entire liter of Coca-Cola. Yeah, but good luck running a marathon on that. You don't have any sort of nutritional basis to keep the fire going, man. It's like trying to build a campfire in the wild on just kindling. You're going to need some firewood. You're going to need some sustainability. Go eat a bunch of sugars. Go eat a bunch of Kit Kats, M&Ms, and Skittles and try to play a basketball game. You'll have a lot of energy for about 5 minutes. Biden continues, and regaining all the private sector jobs lost during the pandemic crisis, it's no surprise that the economy is slowing down. Oh, it's slowing down as the Federal Reserve acts to bring down inflation. But even as we face historic global challenges, we're on the right path. We'll continue through this transition stronger and more secure. They love that word transition. And by the way, there is a connection between the focus on transgenderism and transition. James Lindsay said it beautiful. The postmodernists must always be changing something. Nothing can remain the same. That's what we as conservatives believe. We believe in things that do not change. They believe in things that change all the time just for the sake of changing. That's why the gay pride flag changes every June. Now it has a triangle and a circle in it. Next year, it's going to have a big P on it. Figure out what that stands for. Our job market remains historically strong with unemployment at 3.6% and more than 1 million jobs created in the second quarter alone. Consumer spending is continuing to grow. As earlier this week, Joe Biden said, I met with the chairman of SK Group of Korea, just one of the companies investing more than $200 billion in American manufacturing since it took office, powering a historic recovery in American manufacturing. He says, my economic plan is focused on bringing inflation down. It's actually focused on doing the opposite, without giving up all the economic gains we have made, of which there are none. They're all fake, and you're going to have a lot of suffering because of it. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. The Whoopi Goldberg saga continues, everybody. In fact, there's some breaking news around that that we want to play for you here. And so just breaking in the last couple of minutes on The View, play cut 86.
Welcome back. You know, in Monday's conversation about Turning Point USA, I put the young people at the conference in the same category as the protesters outside. And I don't like it when people make assumptions about me. And it's not any better when I make assumptions about other people, which I did. So my bad. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So
called you guys a bunch of Nazis. My bad. There's a great quote from Benjamin Franklin, which is, do not ruin an apology with an excuse. It's a great quote. Look, I'm a big believer in apologizing when you're wrong. However, I'm trying to make sure I understand what she's sorry for. Is she sorry she said it, or is she sorry that she believed it? Those are two totally, completely different things. And I'm going to be very honest. It's very hard for me to believe that was sincere. It looked more kind of like a hostage situation of lawyers that were pointing and saying, do this. She didn't exactly look graceful while doing that. Now, the gesture is noted, but I want your thoughts because I'm torn on this, especially as a Christian. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Is this an apology that I should accept? Do you accept somebody's apology when you know blatantly it's not being done in good faith? Do you accept someone's apology when it seems as if it's just being done to try to get it out of the news cycle? If it's lawyers pressuring them, is that really an apology? Or is that a press release? I want your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And the story just keeps on going. I mean, it's kind of like 15 days to slow the spread. It just won't go away. And again, I want to be very clear that many times in my life I've made mistakes and I apologize. You know, a pastor told me once, he said, there's only one way to biblically apologize. So this is the way, the best way. And by the way, it's great advice to live for. It's a three-step process. I want to make sure I get this right. It's, I was completely and totally wrong. I have no excuse. And it will never happen again. That's the best. That is the ideal way of apologizing. And also, I'm not really in a position to accept the apology. Our students are. Our students are the ones that were smeared. I get called names all the time. And so this does ask the question, again, I would love your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. How does one handle a situation when you know you are dealing transparently with someone that does not want to be giving that apology, that is being forced to do it? It's as if a child is being told by the parent, apologize. Is that sincere? It's just an interesting moral question, and I don't think I have a clear answer to it. Because I know that everyone makes mistakes, and apologies are necessary to be able to remedy our differences and to try to bring down our, let's just say, bring down our escalating tensions. But do you go out of your way to just say, you know what, I totally accept the apology, even though it's so forced, it's so obvious, and oh yeah, sorry, I called 5,000 students, could have potentially ruined their ability to get jobs, go to college, my bad. What? Someone says here, no, Charlie, I think your instincts are correct. I don't believe she feels any better about young conservatives than she feels about adult conservatives. She's just trying to keep her job. Someone says here, Charlie, she's forced to say she's sorry she was forced to say she's sorry. Elizabeth said, hey, Charlie, that was not sincere at all. The lawyers made her do it. She's a fraud. Sue the View. And again, I resonate with that. The reason I'm torn is because I do believe my faith instructs me to try to seek out differences and offer forgiveness. But I suppose it's a deeper philosophical question, which is, how do you deal in the circumstance and the situation when it's so obvious that that's not an apology? Michael said, Charlie, when you suspect that an apology is insincere, ask pertinent questions that dig down into the person's motives. It's interesting. Smart. Donna says, Charlie, I don't believe she was sincere. She always seems to have excuses for her remarks. If she was sincere, wouldn't you see a bit of change in what she says? Yeah, you know, that is actually an important point, which is there a promise to not do it again in the future? What did Whoopi Goldberg say about Nicholas Sandman? I don't know if she was on TV at the time, but I know a lot of media went after Nicholas Sandman. Go to this question here. Charlie, the fact that a person apologizes doesn't mean they aren't responsible for the harm they caused. That's a really important point. And so I want to differentiate two things. My kind of confliction with accepting an apology that is so transparently insincere, but also holding people accountable. Kenneth says here, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love you guys. You guys have the funniest emails. He says, quote, my bad is not an apology. It's true. Christina says, quote, it seemed as if Whoopi had a metaphorical gun to her head when she made the apology. She's trying to stay away from a big lawsuit. It's hard to disagree with that. This one right here. Steve said, that was not an apology. They're worried about being sued. You saw what happened to Nicholas Sandman. You're doing the right thing. 100%. We're no longer playing by the old rules. It's a new game now. And yeah, and I'll be honest, it's really hard for me just to kind of turn the page and to kind of just move on when it's our students that are at stake. And that's really what has motivated and driven me this entire time, is our students need to be completely off limits. Again, you could say whatever you want about Charlie Kirk. I can deal with that. I have a platform to respond and to clear up the nonsense. We've done that many times here on this program. But you go after our students that are starting these Turning Point USA chapters, you're in the grassroots, and your answer to calling them part of the rise of the American Third Reich and neo-Nazis is, my bad. Someone said, quote, Charlie, there was a third choice. She was sorry that she got caught. Tony said, quote, email this freedom@charliekirk.com. That was the poorest excuse for an apology I've ever seen. She has some nerve and needs to be taught a lesson in behavior of which she has none. She will never learn a lesson if she doesn't have a consequence. So insincere and so smug. Charlie, in regards to forgiveness, Satan wasn't sorry for the fall of man because he was never sorry. I can't speak for God, but who forgave Satan for that? Why forgive the View? They are far from sorry. Okay, so Douglas is comparing her to Lucifer. It's interesting. Fred says here, Charlie, please don't accept Whoopi's apology. And I'm not saying I've accepted it. I'm saying I'm torn. I'm legitimately torn on it. She has not been sincere. That was a forced apology, not sincere. It's very obvious, Charlie. She needs to be held accountable for smearing. Again, that let me be very clear. Whether or not one accepts an apology does not mean that you're not going to held accountable. You might be saying, well, I was really sorry. I drove drunk and ran somebody over. It's irrelevant. You must be held accountable. So that does not even factor into the calculus of our potential lawsuit. It's more of a question of how does one handle that when you get an apology for when you know someone that is not sincere. Sincere. Mackenzie said, quote, I don't believe that you should accept an apology as a sincere apology because it's not. But personally, you should forgive as Christ commands us. Even when no apology may be given, I believe you could still hold accountable and forgive her. That will speak bounds of your testimony or character. Mackenzie, that's where my heart's at. I'll be very honest. That's where I am. That's where I'm torn because we are called to forgive without conditions. But we're also, you must have justice at the center. One of my friends from Chicago just texted me, you know it's not sincere when they keep having to apologize. They have to keep on having new renditions of their apology. Someone says, don't give Whoopi any more publicity. Leave her to God. She has always been obnoxious, rude, and mean. So yeah, Teresa, this is the question, right? Freedom@charliekirk.com. Do we just not sue them now because of that? Do we not pursue it? You know, don't give Whoopi any more publicity. It's really not about Whoopi's publicity. It's about the attempted smear of children. And I will say, Teresa, just to push back a little bit, if you got kids and grandkids, if you don't hold people like this accountable, they're going to try to do the same. By the way, this happens on a micro level. Teachers, professors, other people going after loved ones just because they don't like their politics. Paul said, if Whoopi wants to apologize, maybe she should arrange to have to pay a couple of your staff flight hotel and apologize on the show and explain why she's sorry. If she doesn't comply, she isn't sincere. Paul from Sarasota, Florida. Sandy said, Whoopi's apology was also brought on pressure from those who had handed her the paycheck. I doubt a suit would go anywhere at this point with an apology, but it suggests you do the 2,000 meals and find out who the Nazis are. Yeah, so let me be very clear. We are not going to let the most fundamental part of this go, which is who were the people outside the convention center? So we're working with Greg Phillips from 2,000 Mules, the data that will be compiled from cell phone pings. We're going to find out who these people were. It was so transparently a Democrat operation outside the convention center. And I went through some of the reasons why. Why did the media not care to find the identities of the Nazis that were outside the convention center? Why is that? The great Bill Federer sent me something this morning. I'm going to read it to you. Bill Federer sent me this. He said, Charlie, it is a long-known leftist tactic to go to conservative rallies as fake supporters dressed up as Nazis or KKK. Quote, this is from Saul Alinsky. Such communist tactics were described by Sanford D. Horwitt in Let Them Call Me a Rebel. Quote, in 1972, students asked Alinsky to help plan a protest of a scheduled speech by George H.W. Bush, then a U.S. representative to the United Nations. He told them to go dressed as members of the KKK, and whenever Bush said something in defense of the Vietnam War, they would cheer and wave placards, reading, quote, the KKK supports Bush. And that is what the students did with very successful media results. Joni says, quote, Charlie, take the higher road. The point has been made. Show kindness and graciousness. That is showing Christ to the world. That is my tension, Joni, I have to say. That tension between justice and defending the youth and defending students, and also how do you actually handle people's sincerity when it's so transparently insincere? That's a moral question. And to say you have the easy answer to that, I think is a little bit shortchanged of how complex these things can go. I want your thoughts. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. This person says she should apologize for her apology, Charlie. Sydney said, we must think of the kids and those in need of the future to hold these bullies accountable. Every time these mean girls go down this path, the defamed must start fighting back. It's not just for now, but for Turning Point's reputation and all the good it can do in the future. Yes, forgive, but you must do what's right for the organization. Seems to be a consensus around that. I'll be very honest. The commandment on forgiveness in the Bible is one of the hardest things for me. I don't forgive easily. People say, I forgive so easily. That's not me. Especially when you come after children. If you come after me, whatever. Actually, I forget about it very easily. But if you come after things I care about, that I am tasked to steward, it's not exactly easy for me to do that. and especially when you're the leader of an organization. Forgiveness is a very difficult thing. That's why I always struggle with people that just and forgive immediately. And look, the scriptures are very clear about this. And it says if a brother rebukes and repents, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. The question is, would be a brother? That's a question for a pastor. Phyllis says, my bad is not an apology. I want your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. Someone says, Patricia, if you do not sue her, then they'll continue to say even more terrible things about Turning Point USA and the rest of us. This reminds me of a parent who tells their child, okay, stop that. One more time, I'll get really upset at you. All right, that's enough. Charlie, don't be that parent. Smart. Lorraine says, quote, Charlie, I don't think it has anything to do with whether you forgive her or not. It has to do with justice. As a Catholic, even forgiven sins need to be repaired. For example, if I apologize for a lie I told about my friend who went for confession, my priest, using the old catechism, would say I also needed to repair that lie by making it known to everyone that it was a lie. Did Whoopi publicly make it known that it was a lie? If you let this slide, they'll be making up defamation and lies. Lori from Ohio. That is very smart. I'm not a Catholic, but great respect for Catholic teaching and the Catholic history of especially the creation of the Bible, which was very, very smart. But I am not a Catholic. Okay, deep respect for Catholics. So, Charlie, we as Christians must forgive without conditions. That's true, just stated in the Bible. When struck upon the cheek, turn the other cheek. However, God didn't make us fools. When the second cheek had been struck, you don't have a third defense, not only means with arms, but also logic and defense at your disposal. Sincerely, this guy's last name is Schwab, and no, not related to Klaus Schwab. Thank you, Lord. Jeff said, quote, Charlie, a response required by lawyers is not an apology. Her passion for slander is nowhere near equal to her supposed apology. It's a tough one for me. I'm being very transparent with you guys. And if you guys think it's easy, you guys know what it's like. Some of you knows what it's like when someone you care about gets smeared and they come after you and you just are supposed to move on, especially when you just know it's insincere. Hi, Charlie. Love your show. My bad is not an apology. It's a, oh, I put in my mouth. Sue! That is not out of the cards. Mark, forgiveness isn't about what people deserve. That being said, people need to be held accountable. A fake apology isn't going to cut it anymore. There's not enough people being held accountable. It's not about accepting the fake apology or forgiveness. It's about principle. Want your thoughts to keep on coming in? freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. Cindy said, ask the students, what example do you want students to follow? It's a toughie. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Here's what I can say. We're not going to stop our quest for accountability. That is my promise. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.